Hey, Hugh, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, we're living in crazier times, aren't we? Man, what a time to be alive. July 27th, 2020. For I don't know which is more amazing, that it's 2020 or that it's July 27th. Where did July go? Do you guys remember back? Was it March when this whole COVID thing started? Wasn't it back in March? February, March, somewhere along in there when all this began? Here we are. They're setting us up sure as can be for round two of the COVID. Got a lot to share with you today. Had a busy weekend here. Had a good weekend here. A lot of things going on. And I get up every morning and try to say, Lord, where would you have me go today? Where would you have me go today? What would you have me to do today? And always come prepared with a good list of stuff to talk about. Wonder before I get too deeply into really the things I want to talk about, I want to pull in old Jeff Klein. I think Jeff's in here. Jeff, how'd your stuff go out there in St. Louis, bud? Are you there? Is Jeff in here? Yeah, he's in there. Jeff and Pastor Bill and Flip Benham and some of those other folks, they showed up out in Missouri where the attorney and his wife were arrested for defending their home. And Jeff took a crew of guys out there, met with another crew of guys out there. Are you awake, Jeff? Are you in there brushing your teeth? What are you doing, man?
We're awake.
How'd it go, man?
Well, give us we're a back full, home.
Give us
we're
a full report.
Home. We're back home. We didn't get arrested, and we didn't get the beat down from Black Lives Matter, so we made it through it.
Was there much opposition there, Jeff?
Now, I'll tell you what, not a whole lot, because the whole city of St. Louis was shut down. Mm. It was a ghost town. I took pictures of down the street in front of the hotel. One car and a bicycle. The other way, two cars. I mean, nothing. You didn't even have to stop at stoplights or nothing. They've got that whole COVID thing. The town is bare. The hotel we were in had 280 rooms. Some wealthy guy, I mean, Flip knows him. He gave us free rooms. The hotel was empty. The parking garage is empty. But we made it to Kim Gardner's house. We went to a group of Black Lives protesters. We went to the attorney's house. We got to stay. We were standing on his front door of his steps, Flip and I. He's ringing the doorbell, trying to get. Their Maserati was sitting out in the driveway, but no, they didn't answer. So Flip left him a message, written a message in his phone number. But it was the best part of it was going to Kim Gardner's house. We got there Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. About 8:15, probably a little bit early. Pastor Bill sets up the PA system, the portable one we have. Flip and I and all was setting that PA system up, and Pastor Bill had it probably double the sound ordinance. You know how loud them portables are. So we sit up out there. One guy's complaining, getting ready. Well, first thing we did, I told Pastor Bill, I said, how do we know she lives here? He looked at me and said, well, this is the address we got. So I said, well, let's go up and ring the doorbell. If you're going to see if somebody's home, if they live there, what would you do? You ring the doorbell. So I took one of these flyers we've got of her. We had some great flyers made up with her information on it. It just, then on the back was repent and everything else on the back of this flyer.
So Jeff, so just so everybody knows, Kim Gardner is the prosecutor who charged the couple with whatever they charge them with for having their guns out there, pointing their guns at people, defending their home and their property. And Kim Gardner is the prosecuting attorney responsible for having charged them. And you went to her house.
Yeah. So I went up and rang the doorbell. And I took one of these flyers with me to hand her. Pastor Bill said, as I'm up there ringing the doorbell, her dogs are yapping inside there, barking. He said, when she answers the door, give her the chance to repent. If she doesn't repent, we're going forth with our protest we have. So his whole thing was, she's okay with peaceful protesters. He said, let's see if she likes peaceful Christian protesters. So we ring a doorbell, dogs bark. I wait about 2 minutes. The dogs quit barking. I rang it again. No answer. So we proceed forward. We crank her up. Here comes the cops. The cops pull in, the chief of police, three cruisers. They're all there. They're questioning me. He said, we got a call that the woman at the Kim Gardner called us down the station because somebody's ringing her doorbell and harassing her at her home. And I said, yeah, that'd be me. I said, we had to figure out if she lived there. So we talked for a minute. And the officer said, can I have your name, social security number, and address? I said, well, there's where I have a problem. I said, I'm not going to give you any of that. And I told him first, I said, listen, we come to bring the gospel.
By the way, Jeff, Kim Gardner works for you. You don't work for her.
Yeah. And I said, you know, buddy, we come to bring the gospel. I said, we're not out here throwing bricks or causing any hassle. I said, we're just bringing her the gospel and bringing some truth to her front doorstep. I said, so I can't give you my personal information. I said, now, if I commit a crime, I do something wrong, I'll give you that information. He looked at me, smiled. He said, fair enough. But the cops did tell us, they told Pastor Bill, I said, listen, you guys are on the right track. They let us go. Decimal, we could hear a block down the road. You stand a block down the road, me and Ricky, and then me and Pastor Flipper standing a block down the road. You couldn't even hear each other talk. And we had to get right next to each other to talk. Pastor Bill was blasting forth a rebuking message to that woman. And it was great. I mean, just cops sit there for 2 hours with all their cruisers, listened to the message, never told us to turn it down, didn't bother us. It was great. Just a crazy time. You know what I mean?
Folks, that's a question that we need to all ask ourselves, because see, there are the nicer than Jesus Christians that you'll run into who say that we should not go, dare I use their term, harass elected officials. We shouldn't go do that. That's not very Christ-like. It's not very Christian. And I would say that that's one of the reasons that we're losing the battle that we're in. Again, to kind of circle back around, Jeff, she works for us. Now, she doesn't work for you because you don't live in Missouri. But she works for the people. She's an elected official working for the people. And we have, what's that old saying? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, right? Can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Amen.
So,
couple other quick things. We had, the people were great to us. The cops were great. We got to pray with some officers. I mean, they were just, we had a lot more people for us than against us. So,
of course.
We had a nice big old banner. Doc made all these flyers, 1,000 flyers. We were flying everywhere. Had a big banner on the corner Doc made up. When we left town, we hung the banner over I-64 interstate. We got out there and strapped that baby to the rails. So hopefully that banner is still hanging up. It was saying something to the effect of evict Kim Gardner.
So Jeff, how many, I know you had some other folks come. I know that Aaron Brummett came up and I think Craig made it up, didn't he? How many did you have with you up there, buddy?
We had about 12 of us. Craig was street preaching, or Aaron was street preaching, and two other guys he had were street preaching. We went to a group of Black Lives Matter protesters. They were getting people at one of the Unitarian churches put it on to getting people to vote, register. Well, they had about 60 Black Lives protesters out on these, right at the post, a block away from the attorney's house, out there protesting. So we turn around, we get out of the vehicles, we get out the bullhorn. We're about a block away from him. Pastor Bill turns that bullhorn on, and he's, thus saith the Lord. We're coming down the street right at him. We get down there. He preaches for about 5 minutes. I mean, he's just giving it to him about the Black Lives Matter is a Marxist group. It wasn't but 10 minutes. Poof, they all dispersed. They left. He run them all off. I said, Pastor, it's kind of like when people come to the church, you start preaching, you run them off. He just laughed. But we ended up over at the attorney's house and just different things we'd done there through. And the monuments they were going to tear down that they needed help at, nobody was at any of them. We had two different ones, nobody there.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jeff, I salute you for going out there and representing. You know, we have to figure out, boy, oh boy. I'm going to tell you, friends, I know this as deep as I know anything. This is not a 50-50 country. Okay, this is not a 50-50 country. If you are believing the malarkey from the media that 50% of Americans are lining up with Black Lives Matter and the destruction of property and the tearing down of statues, if you believe that 50% of the nation is in support of that, you're crazy. It's all part of the propaganda that's going on. And we have to begin. We only have about, what is today? July. Excuse me. August, September, October. We got a little over 3 months and there's going to be an election. Now, you don't think it's going to be a fair election, do you? Folks, do you really believe that it's going to be a fair election? As we look back over, as we look over our shoulder, and we look back at the deep state and how deeply embedded the CIA was in trying to bring down Donald Trump, how deeply embedded the FBI was in trying to bring down Donald Trump, and the Democratic Party and all their hearings trying to bring down Donald Trump, and the media doing everything they can to try to bring down Donald Trump. Folks, you don't believe that. Please tell me that you're grown up and you understand that elections aren't going to be fair. Please tell me that. Please tell me that you understand that we are seeing the last gasp desperation of a this is life and death for the left, folks. Life. See, here's one of the things that we are struggling with. We don't understand and have not understood this from the beginning of the eons of America, or we'll go back as far as you want to. Are you listening to me? This is a life and death struggle for the devil. This is a life and see, folks, listen, for those who are not of the Lord, two things, remember, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. I'm going to tell you something right now. Those who are not of the seed of the woman, those who have not received Christ as their Savior. Folks, are you listening to me? Those who have not received Christ as their Savior, this is their best life now. This is it. This is it. And they know it. And so their desperation, their desire, their focus, their all-in attitude in winning this secular battle is because this is their best life. It ain't going to get any better for them. Then they're going to know it. See, it's demonic oppression, demonic possession, demonic control, demonic influence. Everything that you see going on is being driven by the dark side. Why? Because they know that once they cross over that bridge, there ain't no good life for them on the other side. Their life and death struggle is right now. Come on, tell me you got to get it. If you don't get it, then you're not going to understand what this battle is all about. And for too long, the church has sat back. What's the church's attitude been? Well, we're going to go to heaven and they're going to go to hell. Well, bye-bye. Sorry for you. Sorry, we're going to go to heaven. It'll all be pleasant. You guys are going to go to hell. We don't understand that the struggle is going on right here. And they're doing everything they can to drag as many people with them. And see, we don't understand that our job is to drag as many people with us. But you can't drag people, I hate that term. You know what? You understand figuratively, right? People will not, oh my goodness. Lost people don't get it, friends. They don't get it. They don't understand the depth of the evil. They think that the devil is just personally attacking them, that the devil's just after. Joel Osteen would tell them that it's their best life now, and then just to be happy, and God's got good plans for you, and God wants, well, okay, let's say we agree with Joel Osteen that God does have good plans for you, and the words that you say do create your future. Let's just say all that, but do you understand that as you're following Joel Osteen and the name it, claim it crowd, and the nicer than Jesus crowd, and we're going to get out of here soon crowd, as you follow that, we're going to get out. Do you understand that the other side's doing everything they can to destroy everything that's here? And everything that's here is trying to be destroyed by the left, capital L-E-F-T, being destroyed by the devil. Why? So they can take as many people with them as they can. Don't you understand? Don't you understand when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world? Why do we have to be salt and light? Why do we have to do it? Do we have to turn on the light just so that we see the bugs scurry? Is that really what it is? Or do we turn on the light so people can walk in the light? What is it? How do they walk in the light if we don't shine the light? How do they walk in the light if we hide the light inside the church? The Bible says nobody gets a candle and puts it up on the hill, puts a bushel basket over it. No, they take the bushel basket off of it so it gives light into all the world and they see their Father and glorify their Father. The church has hidden. The church is not engaged in fighting against evil. The devil is in the streets. The devil is running the government. The devil's in charge of everywhere you look, and the church is nowhere to be seen. In fact, just saw it yesterday, or maybe it was this morning. Church attendance, boom, boom. Why is church attendance boom? Because people can sit home and get the same stuff on the same feel at home on Sunday morning. They can go to, they can turn on their TV, Facebook, streaming live on Facebook. Your favorite happy teacher pastor. And you can sit at home, get the same thing. You don't have to get dressed up. You have to go in there and see people. You don't have to go in there and act like you like everybody. You don't have to go in there. Nothing. Hey, the devil's coming to church. In fact, the devil's ripping the church from the inside out.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Half a block from Kim's house, where we had the big banner out on the corner, is a huge Presbyterian church. We're right out in front of this church. It's still closed. Still closed. Half a block from Kim's house. Then the some of the people in the neighborhood told us, said, man, you guys shouldn't be here. This is a dangerous area town. At evening, at dark, there's guys out in the streets with long rifles. And a half a block from Kim's house, somebody was shot right in their apartment or condo, whatever it is. Blood spilled everywhere, murdered this person half a block from her house. Her place is up for sale. She is building a new house to get out of the neighborhood.
Okay, but Jeff, I got to throw this out here. See, folks, see, I got to throw this out here. See, we think it's only dangerous because people are dying physically. Don't you understand how many people are dying spiritually? Folks, don't you understand the depth of the soul death that we're seeing in this country? The church couldn't care less about it. Church not at all involved with it. Little children being molested, babies being aborted, marriages being destroyed, men's lives destroyed with pornography. Oh, by the way, the response I got from that little bit that we did at the end of the show, my. Pornography is a demon, boys. Oh, my God, is that thing a demon? And we permit it, right? We permit it to go around. It's unspoken of in the church. Churches won't stand up about it. Anybody want to throw a number out there? You think how many men within the church are dealing with pornography? Huh? 50%? Oh, no. Oh, no. And it zaps our strength, zaps everything about us. Church won't even deal with it. Nah, they don't even care. Hey, I tried to get something on Bible. We're still working on, by the way, with the whole Super Bowl thing. Try to get people involved with that. They don't care. They don't care. Why? Well, they're on their way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. They don't care. They don't care. Doesn't matter if it screws up other kids. Doesn't matter if little girls get raped in their bed at night by their stepdaddy. They don't care. Pornography is free speech. Supreme Court told us it's free speech. Supreme Court, did you see this? Supreme Court on Thursday, Friday, one of those days. 5-4 ruling. United States Supreme Court. Said the churches have no right to stay open during COVID. Did you see that? You didn't see that, did you? You didn't catch that one on Fox News, probably, right? 5-4, John Roberts joined him again in Las Vegas, where they sued. Churches in Las Vegas sued because the government was shutting them down and allowing the casinos to remain open. The churches says, you don't know, the government doesn't have the power to do that. The five of the Supreme Court said, yes, they do. Shut that church down, keep that casino open. At what point do we reach rebellion? At what point do we stand up and push back? At what point do we wake up? I got to show you something here because I couldn't believe it. Go to it. Where am I? John MacArthur. I used to love John MacArthur. Everybody loves John MacArthur. Hey, listen. Hang on. Folks, it's all over me. Just bear with me a second, okay? See, when things
are... Hey, Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
This Joseph, one of our church affiliates, we have two in California. They shut the electricity off of both of them.
So it's coming, Joseph. I saw that online. That's what's coming. It's what's coming. And so John MacArthur, see, while the world was going to hell, John MacArthur is 81 years old, and he's one of the greatest preachers of our time. Really. I mean, I love listening to John MacArthur. He's head straight on with the gospel. But John MacArthur, his whole life, has been a Romans 13 supporter, meaning obey the government. It's our duty as Christians to obey the government. And I wonder how many other pastors John MacArthur has influenced. I wonder how many other pastors out there have been singing that Romans 13 song, obey the government, obey the good. Good Christians obey the government. They're ministers of God. We've gone over that over and over and over and over and over. But John MacArthur seems to have come to Jesus moment. I don't know if you saw this or not. John MacArthur, who, how many thousands of people go to that church? I don't even know. Pull it up at the 7:20, 7:20 mark. I just want you to hear a little bit of this, folks. Because, hey, John MacArthur. Hang on, John. Hang on there. John MacArthur, you're late to the party, brother. The time when we most needed leadership against the forces of darkness, you were preaching personal salvation and personal growth gospel. And you were really, really good at it. You're really good at it. But Isaiah 56:10 says, Israel's watchmen are blind. They're all dumb dogs afraid to bark. And the message you're seeing, John MacArthur, in California, you didn't do anything to fight against it. You didn't do anything. When the COVID virus comes in, you're one of the first guys to shut down. Tell everybody else they ought to shut down. Watch what's going on. See the devil running rampant. Hey, folks, would Jesus Christ, I'm just asking a serious question here, okay? Would Jesus Christ ever ask the church to be closed down? If it was a true Christian church, would Jesus Christ ever tap on the pastor's shoulder and say, hey, pastor, go ahead and close down? Go ahead. Would Jesus Christ ever do that? Gavin Newsom would. The governor would. Can any Christian man out there ever say that Jesus Christ would say he closed down the church? I doesn't make any sense to me. But John MacArthur and his ilk said, well, we're going to be good citizens here. We're going to close down the church because millions might die. Hey, dude, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. So I'm going to say it again. Everyone's going to die, right? So you close down the church and rather stand. Remember, hey, I'll bet you anything. I don't know this to be true. I bet John MacArthur laughed at Rodney Howard Brown. I bet John MacArthur made fun of Dr. Rodney Howard Brown when he got arrested. Oh, my goodness, what a bad Christian he is. Look at him. Oh, no, no. Rodney Howard Brown said, I'm going to obey God, not man. I'm going to listen to God, not Caesar. Caesar isn't God. All those pastors out there, they didn't know what to say about that. No, no, that's not being a very good Christian there, Rodney. Oh, no, that's not being very good. So John MacArthur shut his church down. But now they're going to shut them down. Hey, they're going to shut us down again. Oh, I got some stuff to share with you.
Hey, Dave.
They're going to shut us down again. Yes.
Excuse me. Doesn't the Bible tell us it's the second death that we should be worried about, not the first one?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so instead of taking the COVID-19 and say, hey, guys, are you guys afraid of COVID-19? Come and watch our online service. No.
That's Matthew 10:28, Coach. Fear not him who can destroy your flesh, but fear him who can destroy your flesh and cast your very soul into hell.
That's right. What a time to stand up and say, yep, the devil, Jesus is coming. There is a hell. You're all going to die, and you better get right with Jesus. Instead, we went underground and did it on Facebook. I'm not making fun of anybody. It was like something happened to us so fast nobody knew what was going on. But John MacArthur now is awake. And I say it in a nice way. He's awake. And he's told his people on Sunday they will not close the church again. They won't do it again. So I want to play a little clip here, Sheldon, if you can. Play it at about time and a half speed. So this is about a 14-minute clip, and we're just going to jump in at about the 7:20 spot, and then we're just going to listen to John MacArthur a little bit late saying all this stuff, if you want my opinion. Go ahead.
We trace back to smoking. Cigarettes are for sale. Alcohol's for sale everywhere. You can have all you want. You can have a run on alcohol to the point that it eats up the aluminum cans. Smoking kills 250,000 people. Cigarettes are available. By the way, the state had an interesting statistic. 441,000 kids under 18 will die prematurely from smoking. Almost 500,000 kids currently under 18 will someday die from smoking. Where's the ban on cigarettes? But here's the real issue. You know what the great killer in California is? I'll tell you what it is. The most deadly force in this state is death by medical people who do abortions. And I will give you the statistics of this state. 364 abortions a day. About one in four pregnancies in California ends in abortion. So,
can I pause that
every
a
infant
second?
Conceived.
His statistics are bad, folks. I bet there's 364 abortions in the community he's in. Los Angeles, Las Vegas. There's more than 364 babies die by abortion in California. More than that. He's got the statistic wrong. But thank God for him. Keep going.
Got to figure out the morning after pill, too.
Yep, keep going.
Has a one in four chance of never getting out of the womb. 88% of those abortions are with women who are not married. California has more abortions than any state in the United States. Taxpayer funded.
Stop
on May 31st, 2019.
Stop a minute. So do you obey a government that takes your dollars and kills babies with it? Are we supposed to obey that? Could it be that the Lord has just decided he was going to put his knee on our throat? Could it be that the Lord has just said, you know, I've had about enough of this. For a man to be able to stand in the pulpit and say that how many babies are being killed with tax dollar money. Can anybody out there say that your tax dollars, as a Christian man, your tax dollars ought to go to kill people? Can anybody say that? And here's this guy who's been a pastor out there for who knows how long, and he's telling what the government's doing with your tax dollars to kill babies. And he's been holding a position over the last 45 years that we are not to disobey the government. It's unbelievable to me. Keep going.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, hang on. Go ahead.
Was to let everyone know California's abortions were available to women from states where abortion was restricted. I'm quoting from his proclamation. California is welcoming women to come to fully exercise their reproductive rights as a model for other states to follow. We have more abortions than New York, New Jersey. We have more abortions than any state in America. Let me tell you something. Death by abortion outstrips every other kind of death. You could take all the cancer deaths and all the heart disease deaths, put them together, and they don't come to the killing of children in the womb. There's no moral high ground among leaders in this state. They've kept all the abortion clinics open through all these months. They've been deemed, along with the liquor stores, essential.
Hang on, man.
So babies could continue to be slaughtered.
John MacArthur was one of the people leading the close down the church movement. Are you with me here, folks? Go ahead.
The churches can't meet. This is the reality of a corrupt world. When babies have a one in four chance in our state of not even getting out of the womb. And hopefully, I guess, they would wish that the ones who do get out are politically correct.
Pause that a second. Do you think he's just now discovering this? Do you think that he just woke up today and realized one out of every four babies dies before it gets out of the womb? Is he just awake? And he's been telling us to obey the government. This guy has. Do you think somebody just sat down? Did somebody just sit down with him this weekend and tell him about abortion? Did he not know abortion was going on?
40 years later.
Coach, you know, and I know. And I, you know, the thief on the cross last moment. But in a situation like this with a man of God, I would look at this as because now it is touching him and affecting him that he's ready to stand up and do something.
Yes, is it affecting his money, his purse?
Whatever. Hey, thank God he's awake, right? Thank God he's awake. Can I tell you something? I'm 67 years old. 67 and a half. Or as like my grandkids like to say, I'm going on 68. If I was 81 years old and I had a congregation like John MacArthur, I'd die at the gates of hell. I would die at the gates of hell. How much longer does he have left? How many more years does he have left to raise up that group of people there and go and let it be his crowning achievement in life, the ending of abortion in California? How can he stand there and be so cavalier about the death of 25% of every child conceived in California? Just as a fact. Just a fact, right? It's because why? It's a dark world, Jack. It's a dark world. It's a dark world.
About a year, and a half ago, I pulled off the side of the road because I was listening to this guy on a Saturday morning on the radio. And I pulled off the side of the road because he was about one syllable away from saying that we were in sin to have broken away and rebelled from England.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. He's one of the leaders of it, Jack. That's why I pulled it up there. He's one of the leaders of you must obey the government Christianity. He's one of the main leaders. A strong, strong, powerful, powerful preacher, man of God's built a huge, huge church, has had great, great impact with his life. I couldn't hold a candle to him, yet 25% of every baby conceived in California where he has his church is killed, and all it is to him is a statistic because it's a dark world we live in, folks. And I guess in this dark world, we're not supposed to be light, I guess. Go ahead and keep on playing.
Slaughter is staggering. 900,000 in this country in a year. Almost a million babies.
It's like he never knew this.
This is a direct assault on the creative work of God, isn't it? But God overrules that. And I believe, and I know you do, that he gathers those little ones into his arms. I wrote a book, if any of you are interested, called Safe in the Arms of God. The Lord overrules the efforts of
Pause that.
Killers.
By the way, folks, this is another deadly doctrine. And what's he saying? Well, don't worry about the aborted babies because God gathers them in his arms. That's what he just said. That's what he just said, my friends, without any biblical basis to have said that. Anybody want to take that argument on? Does anybody want to say it's okay to abort them? They immediately go to be with Jesus. Anybody want to take that argument on? Because that's what John MacArthur just said. He said it with fancy words, so we didn't pick up on it. In fact, Sheldon, maybe we ought to go back again for those who didn't quite hear that. Let's just go back a little bit and listen to what he says happens to those aborted babies.
Hey, Coach, we need a retranslation.
Here we go, Benny.
When you go back to listen, and maybe I
will. God overrules that.
Stop it.
And I believe in.
Pause. Go ahead, Dale.
That we hear, there's no doubt about it. But did I hear him say that this is something in a book he wrote? I'm looking at, once again, it had touched him. He needs some book sales.
I missed that one. Hey, Sheldon, go back just a little bit because I want people to hear this whole thing in context. Yeah, that's good right there.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
This is a direct assault.
The part where we hear is personal repentance.
Yeah, I will. You mean the part where he stands up and said, I'm sorry, God, because I've obeyed this government that's been killing babies and that blood's on my hand. I repent of that, Lord. I repent of it, Lord, that I have one of the largest ministries in all of California, people watching me all around the world, and I've been negligent. I haven't even hardly ever said anything about the slaughter of 1 million little babies. I haven't even said anything about it. Is that what you mean, Randy, that segment? I'll see if I can find that. Go ahead. Hey, hang on.
The creative work of God.
Hey, hang on. I like John MacArthur. I love listening to John MacArthur. I love it. But see, you can be so wrong, folks. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar. You get it, right? Just a little bit of poison in there. A little bit of rat poison in. Go ahead.
But God overrules that. And I believe, and I know you do, that he gathers those little ones into his arms. I wrote a book, if any of you are interested, called Safe in the Arms of God. The Lord overrules the efforts of the killers and gathers the little ones to himself.
Is that unbelievable, folks?
Kill people with alcohol, kill people with cigarettes, kill people with diseases because the hospitals don't function. Lock people up so that everybody's under stress and make sure churches can't meet, where's the only place they could find hope and help. We will not bow to such bizarre standards. We'll follow
again.
Our Lord and trust him.
Again,
in case that
did.
Went to the Supreme Court this week, Judge Alito was part of the minority opinion on whether churches could meet like casinos could meet. And his statement I thought was interesting. He said, the problem is no longer one of exigency, meaning a flu or a virus, but one of discriminatory treatment of places of worship. That from a member of the United States Supreme Court who sees it as nothing but discrimination.
Okay, pause there. Just curious. Do you think he's leading a revolt against the Supreme Court now after this decision came down on Thursday? But do you think he's leading? He just mentioned it. He just mentioned it. Do you think he's leading a revolt against it, or is he going to write a book about it? Now, I got over here on my Facebook page. Well, hang on. Just let me read it to you. Here's what Judge Gorsuch said. Folks, in Nevada, they said the churches can be forced to close and casinos are allowed to remain open. That's what our U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4. John Roberts on the other team, by the way. But here's what Gorsuch said. Listen to this. I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen. Bear with me. This is a simple case, said Gorsuch. Under the governor's edict, a 10-screen multiplex may host 500 moviegoers at any time. A casino, too, may cater to hundreds at once, with perhaps 6 people huddled at each craps table here, and a similar number gathered around every roulette wheel. Large numbers and close quarters are fine in some places, but churches, synagogues, and mosques are banned from admitting more than 50 worshipers, no matter how large the building, how distant the individuals, how many wear face masks, no matter the precautions at all. In Nevada, it seems it's better to be in entertainment than religion. Maybe that's nothing new, Gorsuch says. But the First Amendment prohibits such obvious discrimination against the exercise of religion. The world we inhabit today, with the pandemic upon us, poses unusual challenges. But there's no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. Poking us in the eye. They're poking us in the eye. John MacArthur, Isaiah 56:10. Sheldon, can you do that real quick? Isaiah 56:10. I'm not picking on John MacArthur. I'm just shining the light of truth. This is what has happened to our pulpits. Isaiah 56:10. You're in the New Standard, so I'm going to get screaming, bringing that sissy thing up. Attaboy.
Billy Graham falls right behind him, Coach.
Yep. Hey, Isaiah 56:10. Just do this, Sheldon. Make it Isaiah 56, and then we'll begin in verse 10. Just take that 10 out of there. Attaboy. There you go. And then scroll down to 10. John MacArthur. Israel's watchmen are blind, verse 10. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yet the greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they're shepherds that cannot understand. This guy has been a pastor how long? And he's just now talking about the million baby. It's absolutely staggering to me. They all look to their own way for his own gain from his own quarter. Come ye, say they, I'll fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow I'll preach about another thing that doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. And you'll leave here and we'll all be really, really happy. That's it. Anybody think I'm being too hard on John? I'll get off of him.
No, Coach. I'm telling you the reason why. It's crazy. I did not see this video, did not, but man, those things stood out, man, like a red herring. It touched him. It was affecting him. And in that very moment, he inserts, I wrote this in a book. It's out there. You know, go buy it. It's in the bookstore in the back of the church. It's affecting because it's touching them, not just him, but his staff.
Amen.
So it's everybody in the church. It's a money thing.
Hey, Dave,
maybe
these guys with the mega churches should follow that heathen president we have and donate their salary towards the cause if they want to put their money where their mouth is.
That'd be good. Let me tell you something. John MacArthur ain't half the man Bill Dunphy is. He's not a quarter of the man Flip Benham is. I'll tell you that. Anybody can build a church.
Amen.
Anybody can build a church.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, 4 years ago when I first started on the second day of the program, and I started injecting a lot of simple things the Bible says that the churches preach differently, It's been a progression of people accepting the simplicity of the Bible. And that's why I stayed here. Number one, the Holy Spirit told me to. And number two, as it was, I was so appreciative to find a group of people with ears to hear, actually listen and consider, instead of just outright rejecting the simple things the Bible says because their preachers told them differently. And you guys don't know how much I appreciate your ability to think on your own and to let the Holy Spirit open your ears and guide you. It's challenging. It's not up to us to judge this Jack MacArthur guy or anything as to what's going to happen to him when he dies or where he's going to go or whatever. That, you know, God's got that in his hands. But judging whether he's been telling the truth and whether he's telling the truth now, you bet we better do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This isn't a salvation issue with John MacArthur. I'm not talking about his salvation. I'm trying to show you how misled we've been. Hey, Sheldon, bring up the book of Jude. This is really where it kind of, when I made my notes this morning, I asked myself this question. What does it mean to keep the faith? When somebody says to you, keep the faith, brother, what does that mean? Does that mean stay encouraged? Don't get discouraged. Hang in there. Things are going to get better. Keep the faith, brother. What does it mean to keep the faith? What does it mean to keep the bees? What does that mean? What does it mean to keep the children?
To me, it means to protect and don't let someone deceive you and take it away from you. That's me, Coach.
So that would be keeping the faith, huh?
Amen, Coach.
Isn't that what Jude writes about? Sheldon, did you get there? Jude's only one chapter. And I'm going to really make all of you nervous now. You know, Jude was the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus. Jude was. So evidently, Mary wasn't ever virgin. I don't want to start that fight. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, I gave you to write unto you all diligence, to write unto you of the common salvation. It's needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly keep the faith. That's what I read. Earnestly contend, keep the faith, protect it, guide it, guard it. Contend for it. Why? Because certain men have crept in, like John MacArthur, who were men of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. See, John's not an ungodly man, but he has turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He told us to obey. He told us to obey the government as they killed babies. And now it's like he woke up and realized a million are being killed every year. He just woke up to that and woke up to the fact that the million are being killed because our government says it's okay to do it and we're to obey them. He's just waking up to this. Am I making people mad out there today? I don't care. Because you can't.
No, you ain't making me mad.
Can I tell you some more stuff?
Cool.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. I'm trying to make some of you mad. Okay, so can I ask?
Coach, I have a nice.
Go ahead, Dale.
I had a nice encounter, and I wish John MacArthur was with me on Friday because I had to put a police officer in his place in New Orleans when he started. And you're talking about my wife, you know my wife, and he's telling her quit harassing the women at the abortion clinic and so forth, and he's yelling at her. Brother, I instantly stood in between them, and I began to rebuke him, and I told him, I said, you're a horrible officer. And he said, I'm black and I've been in this community. I said, and you're racist on top of it. I said, you're a shame unto this badge. And then I enlightened him. I said, those death squads, I said, those are the ones who are marching against you out in the streets, yet they're calling you and you're coming out here harassing us.
Amen, Dale. It's exactly what's going on. Hey, Fox, go ahead, Joseph.
I had something similar Friday at our clinic down here. We had a guy that a black man brought his girl to the clinic, and he pulled out his badge on us. Don't harass her. And he brought a girl to the clinic.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's what we know. So let me couple things I got to cover. I forgot all about Alicia. We went to court with Alicia. Listen to this one. The judge is in quarantine. Alicia, the girl, Planned Parenthood, her court hearing. We go there. Tom Condit shows up. Our attorney shows up, drives all the way from Cincinnati, comes up there. Judge is in quarantine. They tried to throw her a bone. Plead guilty to this and we'll rub your back. She wouldn't do it. Mike Blake has to go to court here soon. Johnny Tuttle has to go to court here soon for not obeying the government. I don't know if John MacArthur is helping raising any money for their legal fees or not. I don't know. John, he's obeying the government. And then Occupy Till I Come, click on that, Sheldon, because I got away from it real quick. I'm going to be in New York this weekend. Anybody out that way? Occupy Till I Come. They're having a march. A Stand With the Police march is basically what it is. I don't know what to expect. It's going to be held in Queens, New York. There it is. Our next event, Support Law Enforcement, will be held in Queens, New York. March rally with us on, tells you where to meet and everything. It's this Sunday or Saturday at 12 noon. Queens Boulevard, Main Street, and Briarwood, Queens, August 1st. God, is that up already? Jeez. It's my plans to be there unless they lock us down or do something crazy like that. Make you aware of that. Okay, so somebody living out there in Connecticut, come and join us. Click on this. I couldn't believe it. Inventors of Evil. We talked about that the other day, didn't we? Inventors of Evil. Romans. Isn't that Romans 1? Inventors of Evil Things. I don't know if this is true or not, but I didn't put it by it. Natural News, I trust Mike Adams pretty good. Donald Trump may have canceled the GOP convention in Florida because of the threat of indoor drone weapon deployment with fentanyl payload from China. In other words, sneak a drone, sneak some kind of device in there, and release fentanyl in there that would kill probably everybody within the building. Some are saying that was the real reason, not COVID-19. They got word of infiltration, inventors of evil, fentanyl payload from China into the Republican convention. Is it true? Well, you know, I scratched my head because it sure could be. Sure could be, couldn't it? We live in amazing times. I think back to the training we had last week, tactical training, protecting people. Are you watching what's going on in Portland, Oregon? Are you guys watching what's still going on in Seattle? Do you see it? Do you understand it? Okay, so do this for me, Sheldon. Click on, it says Seattle Police Chief. It's right above the one you just put up there.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
I was out on a gathering Saturday, and this plays into your earlier comments about 50-50. It ain't 50-50.
No, in no way, man. It ain't close.
I was in a group gathering, call it a party or whatever, probably 150, 200, primarily white Americans, but there were some Black Americans and Hispanic. And it was kind of a patriotic rally. And it's not 50-50. There wasn't 10% of the people that were opposed to the patriotic aspect of this gathering, cheering the flags, the support of our country, our military. It is nowhere near 50-50. If Joe Biden gets elected, it will be by stealing the election.
So Roger, I was in, Michelle and I had to go to our granddaughter's softball game in Granville Saturday, Granville. For those
Black Lives Matter.
For those of you who don't know, Granville is the liberal mecca of one of the liberal meccas of Ohio. I mean, it is. There's Denison University's there. They're so far gone. Granville, Ohio. And I said to Michelle, let's drive through Granville. Let's see how many Biden signs we see out of this. I bet we're gonna see Biden signs everywhere. We saw one. This is in liberal central, folks.
Yep.
Who need Trump signs? I saw one Biden sign. One. They're lying to us, friends. They're lying. So what do you have on the screen right now? Just trying to tell you, coming to a city near you. Seattle police chief sends letters to residents telling them, we cannot enforce the law. You are on your own. Scroll down, Sheldon, to the letter so you don't think we're making this up. Can you enlarge that right there? This is the letter that the police chief sent. She didn't mail it to everybody. She posted it on Twitter. And Sheldon's trying to make it bigger so I can read it with my bad eyes here. Where I can, maybe I can read it with my own eyes over here on my screen. Maybe you guys' eyes are better than mine. Okay, I'm going to read it to you over here because I can see it over here on mine. So bear with me, folks. It's not good radio or TV or whatever to not look at people when you do it. Dear business owner and or resident, July 24th, 2020. This is from Seattle Police Department. Please know that the Seattle Police Department is committed to addressing life safety incidents and calls for service, responding to ongoing demonstrations and unrest in the city. That's good to know. They want to go and try to protect your life. Also, please know that the City Council Ordinance of 119805 Crowd Control Tool goes into effect this weekend on Sunday, July 26th. This ordinance bans Seattle police officers the use of less lethal tools, including pepper spray, as commonly used to disperse crowds that have turned violent. Simply put, the legislation gives officers no ability to safely intercede to preserve property in the midst of a large, violent crowd. You follow me, folks? City Hall said no tear gas, no none of that stuff. So the police chief says it's important to bring to your attention that yesterday I sent the city council a letter assuring them that as the chief of police, I've done my due diligence of informing them numerous times of the foreseeable impact of this ordinance on upcoming events. This letter is attached for your reference. For these reasons, Seattle police will have an adjusted department in response to any demonstrations this weekend, as I will never ask our officers to risk their personal safety to protect property without the tools to do this in a safe way. In other words, the Seattle police chief says, you're on your own.
Needs to be fired.
Little update on that, coach, and I believe it was in Seattle. A judge, crazy as it sounds, in Seattle, has came in and struck down the city council that the police are allowed to use pepper spray. The fact that it even gets to that point is absolutely ridiculous. These people are destroying private property, property that don't belong to them. And they need to be met with force.
So Dale, I posted a meme on Facebook. It said, how did I say that? Responding to violence with violence is not violence. Folks, I hope you get that. Responding to violence with violence is not violence. It's self-defense. And they're telling us everywhere you look, you're on your own. Why? Because it comes back to what I said at the very beginning. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, and if your life is not guided by the precepts of God and of the Bible, you are under the control of the evil one, and you are hell-bent on destroying anything good. My body, my choice, my will, my. That is all you are seeing on what we would call the left. Those are unregenerated hearts who are, what's a better word? Hell-bent on the destruction of all things good. So the battle that we're contending for is that battle between right and wrong, good and evil. And when the government tells us that we have to obey the government rather than God, then whoever tells you that, that guy's no longer qualified to be a pastor. That's my take. Help me wrap it up here. I got a couple more things, but I don't have time to get to them. Help me wrap it up.
Hey, coach.
Yes, sir.
We got a couple of the stats we had that we brought forward into the streets out there. Kim Gardner had over 100, she had 100% of turnover rate in staff since she took office. 65 attorneys with combined experience over 460 years in prosecutorial experience have left the circuit attorney's office under Gardner. Then she had $190,000 super PAC money she got from George Soros. She's up for re-election August 4th, and we were just at her front door just now.
The question we have to ask ourselves, Jeff, maybe the best question of all, is how does she get elected? How does this woman get elected? How does it happen?
Well, Dave, she's in a metropolitan area. They're not competitive. There are no conservative or Republicans running against her. And she's handpicked by the Democratic Party, and she wins.
That's right. That's right. Doesn't matter if it's a Republican running against her anyway. They wouldn't do anything. Sheldon, go to my Facebook page real quickly. I caught some hell when I put this up on my Facebook page. I don't care. I really don't care if they get mad at me or not. I want somebody to tell me right there how that woman gets elected any place, anywhere. That is the mayor. That is the mayor of Chicago and her wife. Now, can you tell me how how could any say, Coach, you sure are being judgmental. I'm not being judgmental. I'm merely looking at what I see and say to myself, how could any sane person elect that woman to be head of the city? Can somebody weigh in and help me out on that one? Other than the homo that keeps trying to get in here and disrupt us, him? Yeah, go ahead.
Coach, she wasn't elected, she was selected. Just
whatever. Whatever. However, who somewhere decided this would be the standard bearer. This is a picture of that the city of Chicago wants to send out to the world of as the leader, the top political leader in their city. Right there. Somebody explain it to me.
All compliments, Coach. All compliments.
And you tell me that we're dealing with sane people.
I thought it was a Halloween picture. I thought Beetlejuice and Lurch were dressed up for Halloween.
It's amazing. CDL, you're being insensitive now. You're not being.
You're right.
You're not being caring. Yeah. You're not being loving. See, we've gotten in this mess because we haven't pointed out the obvious, right? Listen, folks. There's something seriously wrong with this woman. If she would marry that other woman, there's something seriously wrong with her judgment, right? And if we want to tolerate it and do it, whatever they be, all that, whatever word they try to throw at Christians to make us, whatever they want to make us, tolerant, diverse, and non-judge, that they want to do that. I'm going to tell you something. If you look at that picture and think that that is a mayor of the city of Chicago, and there's not something wrong there.
Hey, Coach, there's something wrong with you if you think there's two women in that picture.
Amen. That's the best one of the day. There's something wrong.
She has something in the news lately here where she had a horse on her one of her speeches saying that she was part Indian. They call her Mayor Lightfoot.
Yeah, yeah. Did you understand, don't you? This is an indictment of us, right? Folks, it's an indictment of us. That of all the people in Chicago, this is the one they get to be president or mayor, whatever. I've burned so many bridges today. And folks, here's what I know. We can no longer remain silent. And in this battle for truth, justice, and the American way, a lot of times I think, you got a choice you're going to have to make. Are you going to spend the rest of your life worrying about offending people or offending Christ? You're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to remain silent for fear of offending people? And by your silence, offend Christ.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. I made it.